Well, a warm welcome along to this week's Sweet Spot, sponsored by Free Super Tips. Both Dave Clark and Steve Palmer are having a well-deserved break. So from the touchline, myself, Warren Ashurst and James Mason have come in to ably assist in terms of looking ahead to this week's golf action. James, firstly, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you. Currently in the process of moving house, which is very stressful, but I have had time to keep on track of the golf. So let's hope that that goes quicker, the tournament goes quicker than it has me being moving house.
Well, we have to start off straight away, of course, by saying yet another winner for Steve Palmer last week, this time on the US PGA Tour, where Ludvig Åberg came in at 22-1. Steve obviously was really keen on him, James, last week. He and Rory McIlroy were kind of battling for the ascendancy in terms of his main pick for the week. And Åberg, I mean, I remember watching it on Sunday evening and seeing him collect three straight fives on the front nine and thinking he's three shots behind now. He didn't look like a player full of confidence at that stage. And then to go on and win from there was really impressive.
Yeah, it was. I think it just shows the mental fortitude of him, really, to be able to do that. He wasn't swinging it fantastically, was he? Then suddenly it's like the flick of the switch and he can just put on a run. That's the talent that Åberg has. I mean, it was very, very close in terms of Maverick McNealy as well. He was doing superbly. I mean, he was blitzing it in the front nine. Yeah. And then you thought he only needed a couple more birdies, you thought, that McNealy needed over his last four holes, and he played them one over. And that was just that moment, I think. It's just McNealy trying to get over the line. That's the sort of thing that's halting his progress at the moment. And then you just got Åberg, who managed to stay hot on those last few holes. And yeah, you've got to give huge credit to him. I mean, immensely talented player. We knew that, didn't we, from when he broke onto the scene, got into the Ryder Cup team. Yeah. He'll be in the Ryder Cup team again this year. But yeah, absolutely fantastic from the Swede.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant from Åberg, who is once again, of course, looking like an absolute nailed-on Ryder Cup competitor. Let's look at the rest of the field. I mean, Rory McIlroy was a bit further down, 3 under par. Some good and bad signs from Rory across the week. But I suppose the big take from it was Scottie Scheffler, who finished in a tie for third, James.
Yeah, I mean, that hand injury hasn't really done him too many issues, has it? The fact he's come back and he's been around that top end of the leaderboard in his three starts, I think, is it, since that hand injury. So yeah, I think for Scheffler it's only a matter of time, I think, before he gets back in the winner's circle. That I think the worrying thing is for the rest of the golfing world is that as we're edging towards April, as we're edging towards that Masters, he just seems to be fine-tuning his game pretty well. And also you're going into March and you've got some big tournaments in that month as well. So yeah, Scheffler looks ominous, I think. It won't be long before he gets another win.
Should mention as well, likes of Tommy Fleetwood, Tony Finau, Patrick Cantlay, all finished in the top five as well. Watched a bit of Cantlay on Sunday. He seems to be finding a bit of rhythm and form as well, James, just at the right time.
Yeah, Cantlay's a strange one because you do think for how long he hasn't returned to the winner's circle, you kind of scratch your head and think how. I mean, he's one of the best putters around. I still find him frustrating to watch, though, with how long he takes over. I know there's a lot of thing about pace of play at the moment, but it's just his putting when he kind of like shuffles from side to side and he's like getting, you know, it's like he's got sponge in the shoes and he's sort of bouncing around and just think, just get on with it. You know, it's kind of like watching Billy Horschel put as well when he creeps up to the ball and you think, just go up and hit it normally. But yeah, I think for Cantlay, I don't know, for Cantlay, for me, I wonder if Cantlay's ever going to be able to make that switch. Like, I know he's a top competitor now, but will he ever get to the highest level? Yeah, will he ever pick one of those up? I'm not too sure. He could be one of those in the category where he could be probably one of the better or best golfers, you would say, not to have broken into the majors. I think there's potential that could happen to Cantlay.
Well, I'm sure we'll have more, of course, in the build-up to the Masters in April. And not surprisingly, quite a lot of the Sweet Spot regulars were following Steve on Ludvig Åberg. Shane Brady, great tip, Steve. Ludvig brought a smile to my face after a very tough weekend. Andy Turner, thank you, Steve. Checking the facts on Ludvig's health paid off for us all. Much appreciated and respected. Dan Zai says, best content on YouTube. And Keith Tutor, huge fan of your podcasts. He was listening in from Tasmania as well. And Dylan Siddle, last one, said, thanks, Steve. You are the GOAT. I managed to get 25-1 each way for Åberg. So, as you might imagine, plenty of very happy Sweet Spot followers. Let's have a quick reflection on LIV Golf as well, James, because there was a big event, of course, in Adelaide, the second event of the new LIV season. And Joachim Niemann was the winner. And I have to say, I know there's a lot of big names on LIV. You know, we talk about John Rahm, we talk about Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, etc. But over the last sort of 6 to 8 months, Joachim Niemann has probably got to be the best player on that tour.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. I mean, it was Niemann and Rahm, wasn't it, that were battling for that individual championship last season. It was Rahm who just edged out Niemann. But yeah, Joachim Niemann is consistently around the top of that leaderboard. That's, you know, picking up titles. That's 3 LIV titles, I think it is, that he's got now. So he's, you know, he's doing fantastically. But this is the issue I've got, though, with someone like Joachim Niemann. He's in, you know, probably that part of his career now where he's making that step up, he's making all these improvements to his game, he's happy competing against some of the best that are on that tour, but he's on that tour where I just don't think you got the same strength and depth as you do as looking at the PGA. I found it strange that Niemann was tempted over there. Yes, it's all financial incentives, isn't it? But I do think you hope that there's some sort of deal. And what we hear recently, I think Paul McGinley's come out and said he thinks there'll be a deal broker between the PGA and LIV before the Masters. But, I mean, for Niemann's career, I really hope that something happens, because he's a hugely talented player who I think just needs to now put himself against the others on the PGA Tour. Obviously, he'll do it at the majors, but I just think week in, week out, you need that strength. And I think you need that sort of that fear of potentially missing the cut as well. This is what I don't like with LIV, is that the fact you can't, you know, you will get paid at the end of it. There's no cuts. I really hate that. There's no jeopardy. So, you know, Niemann goes in there and his head's clear, whereas you put him in a PGA event or the majors, and then that might play on his mind. So you'll see actually where his game's at.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say also as well, another 2 of the top 4 in LIV Adelaide are a pretty similar level. They're just a little bit below Niemann in terms of quality and the form at the moment. Abraham Anser, who finished in a tie for second, and David Puig, the Spaniard as well, who was at 9 under par, 4 shots back of the leader. And certainly they could do with maybe testing themselves against everybody in terms of the world's best when it comes to major golf. I'm sure we'll talk a bit more, Steve will, over the coming weeks in the run-up to the Masters. Let's turn our attentions now to this week's action, of course. And well, Steve wouldn't let me get away with it if I didn't go in chronological order. So we're going to have to start on the DP World Tour with what I love as a title, the Magical Kenyan Open. We look forward to this week on the DP World Tour. James, tell us where we are this week and what we can look forward to.
Yeah, it's the, for my pronunciations throughout this, we'll see how they go, but the Muthaiga Golf Club in Nairobi. We'll go with that. That's how we'll do it. But yeah, it's the International Swings resuming. Obviously, they had a week off last week on the DP World Tour, but they're back on now. But it's a par 71, 7,228 yards. You've got 9 par 4s, 5 par 3s and 4 par 5s, so plenty to go at. It's the 4th year in a row that it's been hosted here as well. It's the 44th in total, so it's been one of the regular venues, really, for this Kenya Open. It's about 1,800 metres above sea level that I've seen, so the ball will travel further, so it will play shorter than the yardage. So you're not really looking for your powerful big hitters here. It's a tree-lined track. Water comes into play on several of the holes, so accuracy, I think, has been the key factor at this course. You know, distance, driving accuracy, strokes gained approach, and strokes gained tee to green. They're 3 key areas that I've looked at. They're 3 key areas that have been sort of integral to the winners recently. The last 3 winners here, you've got Ashen Wu with 16 under, Jorge Campillo 18 under, and Darius Van Driel is the defending champion, 14 under now. Obviously, if you know the golf, Campillo, Van Driel, they're both bullet straight, really. They're tidy tee to green players, but they're not players that are going to rip it up in terms of extra power. Lovely weather it's meant to be anyway from the forecast. Sunny, dry, great scoring conditions, you would presume. So we'll see how this one goes, but an accurate player is what I'm looking for.
Well, I would describe the field as a kind of midway type field. We've got quite a few biggish names, but then some lesser known names as well. In terms of the betting, Sebastian Söderberg leads the way at around about 20-1. Jorge Campillo, 22-1. Then you've got Haotong Li, a winner recently, of course, on the DP World Tour, and Joe Dean, both 25-1. Jaden Schaefer, 28-1, and bigger the rest. How many picks are we going for then from the Magical Kenya Open, James?
We're going for 3 selections.
And who is our main tip for this week?
The main one is John Parry at 33-1. You can get him. Now, he ended 2024 in a winning fashion at the Mauritius Open. That was his second DP World Tour title. It's no disrespect if you can't remember when his first was, because that was back in 2010, but it's a real boost to his confidence. He did struggle a little bit at the start of this year. He missed three cuts in a row, but the positive is that he was tied 21st at the Qatar Masters last time out. So hopefully that's a little kickstart that he needed to get himself going. At the Qatar Masters as well, he was 14th in driving accuracy, he led in strokes gained approach, and he was 5th in strokes gained tee to green. So those three key areas that I was looking at and mentioned at the start, they hopefully will continue to be good for him in this tournament. You look at overall on the DP World Tour this season as well, Parry is 7th in strokes gained approach, he's 5th in tee to green, and he's 26th in driving accuracy. This type of course, this type of test should really suit him. And I think where power isn't the advantage, this is where Parry could come into his own. He was 23rd on debut here last year as well. So I think he's got every chance of going close. The fact he's just hit a little bit of form coming into this one, hopefully he can keep that momentum going.
Yeah, Steve will be ribbing me about the fact that it's another Yorkshireman that we've picked on this occasion. But John Parry of Harrogate is the man who James has as his main pick then for the Kenya Open. Two more selections. Who's pick number two, James?
Yeah, middle selection. We're going from Yorkshire over to France because it's Adrien Sadier who can get it around 30-1. Now, strangely, he's still chasing his DP World Tour breakthrough, which I think is staggering, really, with the talent that he's got. He's come close on several occasions. If it all clicks together this week, he should be right in the mix. Now, he was second at this course back in 2017. That was when it wasn't a DP World Tour event. He was three shots behind the winner that day. He was Aaron Rye. Now, we all know how Aaron Rye has gone on in his career now, making it on the PGA Tour. So there's hopefully that Sadier can make his breakthrough and potentially follow in those kind of footsteps. But his three returns to the course since that second as well, he's gone 51st, 47th and 23rd. Now, the positive here is the fact that he's improved every showing over the last 3 years, so hopefully he's just starting to feel quite comfortable in his game. He did start this year with a miscut, but he was then tied 13 at the Ras Al Khaimah, tied 35th at the Qatar Masters. So there's been some good spots of form for him of late. He's an accurate sort as Sadier. He's 18th in driving accuracy. He's 13 in tee to green strokes gained, and he's 34 in approach. So again, I think he's a player that fits the mould for this course in bags of talent. Like I said, if it all comes together, Sadier's got a great chance of winning.
Okay, so we've got one Englishman and one Frenchman as part of the three-man team. Who is the third tip then, James, for the Kenya Open?
So last, and we're staying in the French theme as well here for the third pick, we're going for Martin Couvre, who is around 60-1. You can get him. So I think that's a really good price. Now, while Sadier's been on the tour for quite a long time, hasn't made his breakthrough, Couvre is one of the up-and-coming Frenchmen. He's 22 years old, looking for his maiden win on the DP World Tour. But he sits at a career-high 271st in the world rankings coming into this one. Now, he's climbed nearly 100 places in the world rankings since the start of the year. So he's seeing the confidence that he's exuding at the moment. He did miss the cut at the Ras Al Khaimah. That was his first outing of 2025, but he then went T4 at the Bahrain Championship, T5 at the Qatar Masters. So it's evidence of how things have clicked for him over the past few weeks. He's 8th in strokes gained approach and 12th in tee to green on the DP World Tour this season. He's 36th in driving accuracy. So all good sort of rankings for him at the moment. His first try at the Kenya Open, you know, he's young, he's fearless, he's a player that's shown his quality. I don't think him making his debut here will have much effect on him. Another asset, though, away from the other two selections is Couvre's putting. He is brilliant with the flat stick, and it's always a plus, I think, when you don't particularly have to worry about that part of your game. I always think it's harder to be a poor putter and to become a good putter than just being a good putter to start with. And I never really see a good putter becoming a bad putter. They always have that bit of their game that's always pretty well. So it's not an area that he has to think about. And I think Couvre is a good selection here.
Okay, well, they are James's three picks for the Magical Kenya Open. I have to say, Connor Syne stood out for me at 35-1. Seeing if you're a YouTube golf watcher, then seen him a couple of times recently on YouTube playing some absolutely cracking golf over the last couple of months in terms of that. And if he can take that form onto the tour, then certainly he could be there or thereabouts. Was there anybody else, James, or were you pretty set on that three?
I mean, there were a few, to be honest, because of how the betting is going into it and how sort of an open feel it looks like. There are a few that I looked at. Joe Dean was someone that I had a little look at there. He was second year. It was his second place finish last year that really set him up. That sort of told story about Joe Dean. He was a Morrison's delivery driver, and then it was the Kenya Open when he got second, got enough money, and then he started putting the performances together. He was somebody I did have a look at. I just didn't quite fancy him. There was just something that was niggling at me and sort of put me off him slightly. Another one which I had a little look at was Jacques Kruijswijk, the South African, but his best results in the Kenya Open have come at a different course. He was 11th here last year, which wasn't bad, but his performances of late, he's been doing okay, but they're not at the high level. He's been playing down on a lower tour. So, again, I wasn't sure if he could potentially make that step up. He's great tee to green, but he sometimes lets himself down on the greens.
Okay, well, that is the Kenya Open covered then on the DP World Tour this week. I know sometimes this is an event that they don't particularly show live on Sky Sports. I'm not entirely sure whether they've got it covered this week across Sky. But anyway, there will be, I'm sure, coverage of the Kenya Open. And as I say, three picks for James for that DP World Tour event. We'll go across the Atlantic now for the US PGA Tour, which is in Mexico this week for the Mexico Open. Again, I would probably say a sort of middle range tournament when you consider the field for this one. Where are we, James, and what can we look forward to?
Yeah, I agree with that with the field. I think it is a mid-range, and I think there's really good value to have here. But we're at Vedanta Vallarta. Now, it's the Norman signature course. Of course, Greg Norman there. They haven't got rid of that course yet, even though his associations live or not so anymore. But the Norman signature course, par 71, 7,436 yards. It will play 20 yards less than last year. That's because the par 4 8th has been capped to 476 yards. So 20 yards, they will go around less than last year. It's got 9 par 4s, 5 par 3s and 4 par 5s. Now, this one is completely different to what we're going to see at the Kenya Open, which I said is a tree-lined course. It's all about accuracy. This one, wide fairways, minimal rough to contend with. Big hitters have prospered here. Rahm won in 2022 on 17 under. Finau the year later in 2023 on 24 under. Those two actually switched places because Finau was second to Rahm. And then Knapp won last year on 19 under. So it's the bigger hitters that have done better. It's the fourth year in a row that it's been staged at this course. And it's also the fourth year in a row that it's been a PGA Tour event. So it's made that step up into a more prestigious one. The first two stagings here, they were in April. Last year, though, they switched it to February. And again, this year, it's taking place in February. Now, the greens were slower last year. They went from 12 on the stimp meter to 11. So it's just that ability to give it a little bit more of a hit on the greens. You know, they're not lightning fast as they have been. The weather, sunny, gentle breezes. They'll be lovely scoring conditions. So I think there will be some really low scores posted for this one. But yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, mentioned the wide fairways, minimal rough. The rough was allowed to grow a little bit longer last year. I think it was around 2.5 inches the rough was allowed to grow to. So it took away slightly from the fact of the first two editions here that were all about power hitting and just gripping it and ripping it off the tee. So there was a little bit more of an accuracy sort. So I've got two plans of attack for my selections for this one here, trying to give sort of a hand for one side and a hand for the other.
Okay, well, we'll find out who those selections are in a moment. Let's just take a look at the latest betting then in the outright market. And probably a couple of the names at the top of the betting at the moment are more associated with the DP World Tour and other events. Akshay Bhatia, 14-1 currently. Rasmus Højgaard, 18-1. Patrick Rogers, who was there or thereabouts, of course, last week at the start of the event, is 22-1, as is Stephen Yeager and Kurt Kitayama. Sam Stevens, 25-1. Michael Kim and Taylor Moore, both 28-1. And it's bigger the rest. How many selections then, James, for the Mexico Open?
We've gone for four selections for this one.
Four selections. So a 3-4 formation this week. And we will start with the first pick. Are we looking at somebody near the top of the betting?
We are indeed. You're looking at number two in the betting for most places. Rasmus Højgaard at 18-1. I think that's an outstanding price for him going into it. Now, this is the one angle of attack I'm going for, which is the bigger hitter theme. With a lot of the leading players absent, there are some good prices to have. And Højgaard, I think, is one of them. Extremely talented player. He's already won 5 times on the DP World Tour, and he's only 23. He's made a solid start to 2025 as well. He was tied 14th at the Desert Classic. Then he went over to the PGA Tour, tied 22nd at Pebble Beach and tied 12th at the Phoenix Open. In all of that surroundings, you know, it's a very hard tournament to play in there if you don't like all the noise coming at you, but he did really, really well. He missed the cut last week. That was a little bit of a disappointment, but I think he'll bounce back for this one. He is one of the bigger hitters on tour. He's tied 11th in driving distance, and he will be one of the biggest hitters in this field, due to the fact that those above him in those rankings for driving distance, most of those players are not playing in this event. So he will be feeling confident to be able to attack some of these holes. There's some drivable holes as well. And I think with it being a Ryder Cup year also, Rasmus will be desperate to bank some early points. There's more emphasis for the Ryder Cup this year for the European team on PGA Tour events. Yeah. Obviously, it's not 2 different point lists anymore, which they had. It's now just 6 players from 1 points list. So I think it'll be interesting to see, obviously, how Rasmus does on the PGA Tour. But he'd be looking to get in the mind of Captain Luke Donald very, very early. He'll also be hoping to emulate his brother Nikolai, who did feature for Europe in that winning side in Rome. Nikolai is playing in this event as well, but it is Rasmus that I've gone for over Nikolai.
Okay, Rasmus, 18-1 or around there at the moment in the betting. Nikolai is as big as 45-1 I've seen in the betting at some areas. So that's pick number one. James, who are we looking for selection number two?
Yeah, it's another power hitter, and it's Ulrik Pottgita. Now, it looks like Pottgita for a lot of people would say, but I did do my research on this one, and it's Pottgita is how you pronounce his name. He played at the Open, the Open at St Andrews, and I did have a look, and there was some commentary on it. So that's where I'm going for. That's where I'm sticking. Or to his mates, Oldie. You know, he likes to be called Oldie. So there we go. We'll stick with that one. But Pottgita, 75-1. You can get him at. I think that's a really big price, a good each way price. Like I said, sticking with the bigger hitter theme here, Pottgita, he's unrivaled in driving distance on the PGA Tour this season. He's also second in strokes gained off the tee. I mean, that bodes really well for this type of test. You know, there's a huge buzz around the South African. He's 20 years old, but he is seen, I think, as an ex-potential major winner from his country in the years to come. I think give it 3-4 years maybe, where he's fine-tuned bits of his game, and I think he will be right up there. And obviously just the latest player that's been produced from South Africa, who do produce them very, very quickly. But he was tied 15th of the Farmers Insurance last time out. That was his last appearance competitively. He led in strokes gained off the tee in that event, and also in driving distance. It was a tournament that he was right in the mix for as well, going into the last round before he fell away. It was a horrendous final round, let's be honest. You know, he just didn't handle the pressure. But I think that will stand him in better stead, you know, using that experience for the next time that he's in that position. I also think this is a lower level field event, so I don't think you'd be having as many people like the big names on that leaderboard thinking, oh dear me, there's a Scheffler, there's a McIlroy. Yeah. I think he'll just be thinking, yeah, I can match up against these guys. So I think he's got a good chance.
Pottgita, whatever you decide to go with, it is spelt Pottgieter, just to make sure that those who might want to have a little flutter get the right name on the betting slip or selection online. So that is our first 2 selections. We've got 2 more picks. Are we looking at bigger prices here, James?
We're looking at medium prices here. So they're bigger than Højgaard, but they're less than Pottgita. So that's kind of where we're going in that range.
Pick number 3 is who?
Pick number 3 is Aaron Rai. Mentioned him earlier on with the Kenya Open when I was talking about that. So I've gone away from the power hitting here. And I mentioned, obviously, the rough was allowed to grow a little bit more last year. I think they'll keep it around that same level this year, 2-2.5 inches. So I think I'm going for more of an accurate type. And Aaron Rai is certainly one of those. Now, 30-1 Rai is priced at, which I think is good. Now, like I said, he meets the criteria here really for an accurate sort, Rai, which I'm going for. Tee to green specialist. Well, his putting has massively improved over the last year. That helped him to victory at the Wyndham Championship. Don't know if you remember, but it was around May or June, I think it was June time last year, where he brought in a putting coach, an extra putting coach, and he changed the grip, changed the swing of it, and you could see the numbers were starting to look a lot better for him from tournaments. He came tied second and won, and he was racking them up, and you're thinking, right, that was all that he needed to do in his game was improve the putting. That was what's holding him back. Got the Wyndham Championship, and he just seems to have elevated his game more. He's becoming more and more comfortable playing in the bigger events. You know, he started this year off on a positive note. He was tied 15th at the Century, and now you can dig a little bit deeper into that Century performance as well. That was at Kapalua in Hawaii, and it could be very significant because John Rahm, who won the Mexico Open in 2022, he compared Kapalua to the Norman Signature course. So he thinks there's very much similarities between these two, and that's a very, very big bonus, I think, for Rye coming into it. His three efforts here at Vedanta, he's gone 24th, missed cut 19th, but I think he arrives a much better player this year with the PGA Tour title under his belt as well. I think he could be very, very dangerous.
I love the story of Aaron Rye because he felt like he was a bit like, I don't know, people would make a point of saying, oh, he used to have iron covers and he wears two gloves and, you know, a bit quirky. But actually, he's built himself into a real top quality golfer who can challenge for tournaments on the PGA Tour. And like you say, he's already shown in big company that he can do it. And certainly probably bigger and better fields than the Mexican Open. So real hope for Aaron Rye that he can get another win under his belt this week. That's three of the four selections, James. Who's our last pick for the Mexico Open?
Fourth and final, we're going to go for Justin Lower, who around 45-1. Again, he's another player that doesn't fall into the power category, mentioning going for a two-pronged attack, but he averages just over 300 yards in driving distance, so he's not shabby by any means off the tee, but he showed that power isn't everything last year, like I said, when the rough was a bit higher, because he finished tied third here last year. That was his second effort as well at the Mexico Open after his 63rd in 2022, so certainly a huge sort of improvement from that 63rd to his tied third finish. He's been a little bit hit and miss on the PGA Tour this season, a miscut and a tied 62nd from his last two outings. However, you look a little bit earlier, he was tied third at the American Express. So he does have it in his locker to contend. And then I mentioned before with Rye, with the fact that Kapalua at the Century has similarities. Well, we'll look at some other courses that have similarities to this week's layout as well. Now, you've got the Corrales Punta Cana Championship and the Worldwide Technology Championship. Now, at Corrales in April last year, Lower was fourth. And then at the Worldwide, which is staged at the Tiger Woods-designed El Cardonal course, that's in Mexico, he was second. So that's really good form that he's played well around these area. That form bodes well for this test. And I think Lower is definitely one to keep an eye on. I think just with the fact that you've got so many big players that aren't featuring in this event, some of the high profile names, that you are going to get good prices on certain players. And I think Lower is certainly one of those.
Just looking at the weather, by the way, it might well suit some of the European players because it's not going to get more than about 23 to 25 degrees in Mexico over the latter stages of this week, and there's the chance of the odd light rain shower as well. So actually, it might well suit the players who, as I say, are coming from a bit of a cooler climate. So four selections for James for the Mexico Open. Just looking at some of the other big names, I mean, I suppose it's not a massive surprise to see Akshay Bhatia at the top of the betting in terms of form in recent months, James.
Yeah, we had his best finish of 2025 last time out. He was tied ninth, and he goes into this event with just his second appearance, but he was fourth on his debut back in 2023. So certainly, yeah, he is a player. He's a player that's established on the PGA Tour. Again, sort of mixes it in the bigger events. So he'll be someone that'll definitely be looked at. I'm not quite sure on him. Patrick Rogers is another one. You know, he's got a great record here. Three top tens, 10th, 10th and 6th. The fact is, I'm just not sure how Rogers is going to deal with falling away and missing another opportunity to win last week. He was right in there. Was it, I think it was 286th start, I think it was, on the PGA Tour. He was looking to win for the first time and he didn't do it. So That's a worry, I think, for Rogers, how his mindset is going to be coming into this event. So he was someone that I could kind of easily overlook. You're looking at others. Jake Knapp, the defending champion. Again, I wouldn't really go near him because I just don't think he's shown the consistency levels that I kind of want.
Yeah, looking at certainly down the field, you realise how many European-based players are playing. And there's Nicholas Norgaard, Matt Wallace, Thjornborg, Olesen amongst them as well. So plenty of players who are kind of chopping and changing between the US Tour and the DP World Tour. But it should be a really intriguing encounter at the Mexico Open in terms of the latest US PGA Tour event. That wraps up our look then at both of the tournaments. We'll get all of the details of James's selections in a moment. But you touched upon it, James. I just wanted to mention now, we're getting into that crucial stage of the season where players want to try and find or get towards that time where they're finding their best form going into, obviously, the start of April and the Masters along the way. I mean, how significant are sort of results, that would you say, at this time of year?
Definitely, I think you want to be... You don't have to be winning right now, but I think you want to be churning out some good results. I think when you come to March, I think when you come to middle of March maybe, and it's really starting to ramp up, I think ahead of the Masters, I think that's when you want to be showing form. But again, it's not any kind of pattern that works, because you know, we've seen Scheffler has won before the Masters and then gone and won the Masters. But McIlroy's been in superb form going into the Masters before, and then he's flopped. It's really, really hard to know kind of what works for each player. Yeah, I sometimes think McIlroy would be best served playing poorly or not playing as well as people think going into the Masters and maybe easing that pressure off. But he has also come out and said he's got 3 goals left in his career that he would like to achieve, and one of those is winning the Masters. So he's then immediately gone and put the pressure back on him to try and win the Masters. You think, Rory, just calm down a little bit. As everybody knows, you want to get that green jacket, but just try and take a bit of pressure off. But yeah, at the moment, I don't think it's imperative if someone's not winning, but I think you do want to still be putting in some decent performances. I think you want to be making cuts and maybe sort of hitting the top 25s and posting those kind of results. I think if you're missing cuts, then obviously that confidence is just going to be absolutely shot.
Yeah, listening to Steve the last couple of weeks, he's been mentioning about kind of players dusting off the cobwebs, basically, because they've had an elongated break over the start of the year, and some of them are only just coming back to action now. And some of those players, probably both at the Mexican Open and the Kenyan Open, will be playing their first major events of the year. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on. Time to wrap up now our tips for the week. And we've got 7 overall. We'll start off with the Kenya Open, James, and the 3 selections for that.
Yeah, 3 selections. Got John Parry, Adrian Sadier and Martin Kuvra.
And we have 4 selections for the Mexico Open. Reminders of the 4 tips.
They are Rasmus Højgaard, Aldrik Potgieter, Aaron Rye and Justin Lower.
I'm going to put you on the spot now and say, if you're going to pick one across the 2 events, who would you feel most confident about?
Oh, that is a tough one. You know what? Højgaard, I think, I never like going at the top of the betting sometimes, but Højgaard,
it's a good price, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really good price to get him nearly 20-1 for a player that has won so many times the DP World Tour. I think that's great, and he fits the bill pretty well for this event. I think a very close one would have been John Parry. I just think Parry's game completely suits the Kenya Open, tee to green, and he's you know, coming in with a bit of form. So it was very close between those two. But if stick the neck on the line, Højgaard just gets the nod.
Okay, well, thanks very much indeed to James for all his info and tips this week, standing in admirably for the main man, Steve Palmer, who is, I'm sure, celebrating this week after Ludovic Aubert's success on the US PGA Tour. Dave and Steve are due to be back next week with you next Tuesday on the Racing Post YouTube channel, when they'll look ahead to the South African Open and the Cognizant Classic on the US Tour. Don't forget, of course, to like, comment and share and subscribe as ever via the Racing Post YouTube channel. But for myself and James, thanks very much for joining us this week. Enjoy your golf over the course of the week, and please remember to gamble responsibly.